I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Open the champagne, pop the cork. The Senate Democrat leader and the Republican leader are on their way to Kiev. They've got $60 billion they're bringing. I don't know if it'll be cash in pallets, but they're taking your money to Kiev. Now, they didn't have much time, really no time and no money to do anything about our border. We're being invaded. A literal invasion's coming across our border. 800,000 people came illegally in the last month, and all they had time to do in the Senate was get the money, get the cash pallets, load the planes, get the champagne ready, and fly to Kiev. On Friday, they will take the $60 billion to Kiev, crack the champagne, and meanwhile, each day, between 5,000 to 10,000 people come across the border illegally. Now, they put up a sham bill, and they said, you should have taken the sham bill. You should have taken the ruse. We gave you a border bill. But the border bill would allow 5,000 people a day to come across, and then they would declare an emergency. Guess what? The emergency's already here.
Yes, the emergency's already here. It has been here ever since Joe Biden canceled Trump's stay in Mexico policy and stopped building on the wall. And basically issued the pull factor saying, come on, everyone, come on in. Hoping that all those coming in will end up voting Democrat. I'm not so sure, but I will tell you this. At this point, they're going to need more Democrat support because a lot of the staunch Democrats are turning away from them because they are being subjected to what a lot of these illegals are doing when they come in. Even if they're coming in simply to assimilate, this many at one time is causing a drain on resources for every government, from the state down through the county into the cities, small communities, school districts, water districts, health services, police services, and they're not paying anything to support it. In fact, in New York City, they're giving them $1,000 credit cards that could be recharged. Now, they're supposedly only going to be using the cards for food, diapers, no alcohol. Well, you wait for that to fall apart. They are going ahead and getting their $1,000 debit card, and they don't really need it, and selling it to someone else for $600. I mean, there's so many scams they've opened up. Are they that stupid? Do they really not understand? Just go ahead and give them the $1,000. Say, go, whatever you want to do, just go ahead and do it. You're going to do it anyway. There will be those that will be thankful to have it. I mentioned this very fact with a relative. First of all, she said, well, I was taught, you taught me, always check the sources. Where'd you get that? And I'm thinking, how can she be that out of touch? Well, because she's locked in her own little bubble and world, and I know a lot of people have their other things they want to deal with. They do not want to get wrapped up in all the politics again. And they're against Trump. That's fine. But what they're doing is they're putting themselves in a silo, and they're not aware of what's happening around them. Until it's going to be too late. So I sent her three different articles. One from the New York Times, one from CBS News, and I don't recall the other source, but every one of them were among the state-controlled media outlets. And that included not only the money being given to the illegals, but the restrictions on it, and the complaints are already coming out from those who say, bad idea, bad idea. Senator Rand Paul talking about this $95.3 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. No money for the border. As he said, we told you you should have taken the border bill we gave you. Now we're giving you nothing. I want to break that down in more detail, but first, welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us. Here we are on our second hour of two of Larry Connors USA. We are here for you every Monday through Friday night, right here, from 6 to 8. And when we're on the air, we're streaming video at News Talk STL Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. Also, Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. If you miss anything, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. I know many of you can remember Larry Connors USA. You type it in, it'll probably fill out the rest, and then you go where you want. And whatever other podcast forms you have, we're on many of those as well. Like to have you watching on ours, but it's your decision. Just glad to have you getting involved and hopefully getting others involved. Because right now we have too many that are just willing to sit back, complain, bitch all the time about what's happening or not happening. But if they're not going to vote, they're not going to get involved, shut your mouth. You don't have any skin in the game. You're just putting us deeper into jeopardy. I want to run through for you the senators that ended up voting for this $95.3 billion. And I will tell you right now, I'm disappointed in some of the names I'm going to read to you. A couple in particular. I have not heard or seen from them as to why they went along with it. They didn't vote for it simply because it was 5 a.m. this morning and they're just too tired to continue. They voted for it because they went along with it. Now, part of their answer, I know, is going to be hinged in the fact that, yes, we want to help America. We want to make America great, but we've also got to protect Russians from taking over all of Europe, and Ukraine's their starting point. That's the theory. That's the mindset. Here they come. These are all Democrats. The final vote was 70 for it, 29 against it, and among the 70, 22 Republicans. Three Democrats, or actually two Democrats and one independent, said they would not support it. Their reasoning is interesting. One being that they don't want to send any more money to Ukraine for offensive weapons. Well, if you couldn't send money to them, you want them to have the weapons to protect themselves. But progressive lawmakers, Democrats, Senators Jeff Merkley of Oregon, Peter Welch of Vermont, as well as Senator Bernie Sanders, independent of Vermont, voted against it. Welch said, I'm not in good conscience support sending billions of additional taxpayer dollars. And here's where it breaks with me in the way he rewards this. For Prime Minister Netanyahu's military campaign in Gaza. It's a campaign that has killed and wounded a shocking number of civilians. It's created a massive humanitarian crisis. Who started the issue? On October 7, who crossed the line and started slaughtering innocents? Not Israel. They're going in to wipe out Hamas, and they will stop when they're done. All right, among the Republicans who decided to vote for this budget boondoggle, Senator John Boozman of Arkansas, Senator, I'm going to make fun of your last name right now. Is that what you were doing when you voted? I'm just asking. Senator Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Susan Collins of Maine, I could have expected. John Cornyn of Texas, disappointed, but maybe expected. Kevin Cramer, North Dakota. Mike Crapo, Idaho. Not going to make fun of your name, Crapo. I'll just let it go. I didn't quite let it go, did I? Of course I didn't. Joni Ernst of Iowa. Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Chuck, why? John Hovind, North Dakota. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. John, what were you doing? Senator Mitch McConnell, no surprise there. He, of course, Kentucky. Senator Jerry Moran, Kansas. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, again, no surprise there. James Risch, Idaho. Mitt Romney, Utah, no surprise. Mike Round, South Dakota. Dan Sullivan of Alaska. John Thune of South Dakota. Tom Tillis, North Carolina. Roger Wicker, Mississippi. Todd Young, an independent, voting with the Republicans, as Bernie does with the Democrats. Now, again, many of them are going to say, well, we know we need to get money to Israel. They wouldn't accept the bill that we were offering originally as a standalone, and that's the only way to get money to Israel. That might be an explanation for some. But the 22 that voted against it said from the beginning, we will not be swayed. We will not give you one more dollar for Ukraine unless it includes legitimate dollars and legitimate effort to protect our border. Why would we go protect Ukraine's border and not our border? Well, that's a hell of a good question, and it deserves an answer. So that's why you don't see Ted Cruz and some other names on that list. Marco Rubio and others, Rand Paul. They're not going to vote for it because there's not money in there, and they're not going to fall for the idea that they should have just simply taken what was offered them. Senator Rand Paul again.
What we have here is a failure of the elites of Washington on both sides of the aisle, the leadership in the Democrat Party, the leadership in the Republican Party. What we have here is a failure of these elites to understand that the American people want to put America first. 61% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck, and they want to put Ukraine first. I want you to talk to your constituents at home, the ones who live paycheck to paycheck, and tell them why you're shipping $60 billion to Ukraine. This will be $170 billion. We have never before in the history of the United States flooded so much money into another country.
Now, again, North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis rebukes that argument and others, saying the money would only help Ukraine for less than a year. Much of it would go to replenish U.S. military stock. He said, I don't want to be on the pages of history that we will regret if we walk away. You'll see that the alliance that is supporting Ukraine crumble. You'll see China become emboldened. I don't want to be on that page of history. And again, like I say, some were looking at, well, we got to get money to Israel, and they wouldn't take it when we first offered it. Now, of course, it goes to the Senate, and House Speaker Mike Johnson's in a difficult position. A majority of his conference opposes the aid. He's got the slimmest of majorities. Here's why we have this issue. Both Republicans and Democrats have such a slim majority in either House. One or two defections, someone you're counting on, doesn't go to your side, things go upside down in a hurry, and it gets messy. You ever watch sausage being made? You don't want to. And that's pretty much what's happening right now. Now, the illegals continue to cross our border. What do we know about them? Here's Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson.
It's hard to get the exact figures because this president's Department of Homeland Security is not exactly what you'd call transparent. They don't give up the numbers the American people deserve to know very easily. So we have to kind of cobble these things together from different sources. But I think it's pretty obvious looking at the numbers that about 6 million people since the start of the Biden administration have entered this country illegally and have stayed. We really do not know who these people are. Who we definitely don't know who these people are the close to 2 million gotaways, known and unknown. By the way, the known gotaway, that's kind of a misnomer. We have no idea who these people are. We just detected them coming across the border. So again, about 6 million people total. 31 states have a population less than 6 million people. My state, Wisconsin, is on the bubble. We're about 5.8, 5.9 people. That's the magnitude, the order of magnitude of the migrant flow that President Biden, using the same executive authority that President Trump used to secure the border, he used that exact same authority to open it wide open.
And he did. He did. He just simply stopped.
And put our nation at risk.
And he did. He just simply stopped the border, stopped building the wall, and reversed the stay in Mexico policy. And there it went. There it went. There is a 60 Minutes report I'm going to share with you in a moment. And it's going to talk about the number of Chinese coming across our border. Now, 60 Minutes is on the scene as they're watching numerous come through a gap in the fence that does exist near San Diego. A little gap. It's built up against a boulder area, but it's been moved around a little bit, or somehow or another people can squeeze by. And whatever they're carrying, they may have to pass through to someone else, but then they can squeeze by. And they're coming in. And everybody knows it. And how do they know about it? Well, is one of these coming through and talking to the CBS reporter through an interpreter admits TikTok and chat, WeChat, ChatGP, whatever. He said, we're giving coordinates, locations, and places, and the cartel knows too, so they bring us to this area. We jump out of the vehicle, and we run for that and come through. There is one lone military border patrol officer there, one border patrol officer. Now, he could stand himself in the gap, literally, but he'd be shoved and pushed away. But I am amazed. Of course, it's right at California. Maybe they could care less because the elite know they're not going to make it to my house. They won't make it here. That they don't put more force there and maybe a truck right in the middle of the gap to keep them from coming through that way. Oh, they'll try to crawl over it. I know they'll look for any way possible. And if not there, they'll go somewhere else. California is undergoing a metamorphosis, as is the entire nation. I mentioned in the last hour how in the city of Chicago, South Chicago residents are demanding that their mayor step aside. And they're flat out saying, he did not cause the issue we have in our backyards with all these illegals. And neither did Trump, they admit. It's all Joe Biden and the Democrat Party. You created it, you left it, and you put it in our backyard. And one of them is being quoted, more of us are going to be for Trump than ever before. Can you imagine that coming out of Chicago? I'll be very interested in watching election night, see what exactly the numbers are in Chicago. And don't forget, the Democrats have decided to hold their convention in Chicago. It looked stupid when they made the decision. It looks more stupid now. All right, I have the 60 Minutes report coming up, and you don't want to miss it. Very enlightening and frightening. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield has some great events coming up this month. Here's one to mark on your calendar. Feb 15, Scott Biancardi from STL Cigars will be hand-rolling smokes right there in front of you. Feb 15, plus Stolock whiskey tasting, all happening at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. I'm often in for a smoke. If I'm there, make a point to introduce yourself. And for more events, follow Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The number of migrants arriving at the southern border is unprecedented. Last year, U.S. Customs and Border Protection recorded 2.5 million instances of detaining or turning away people attempting to cross into the United States from Mexico. So what's the fastest growing group among them? Chinese migrants. Yes, you heard that right, Chinese. We saw large groups, including many from the middle class, come through a 4-foot gap at the end of a border fence 60 miles east of San Diego. The illegal entryway is a new route for those hoping to live in America.
And those who were coming across, while 60 Minutes was there, interviewing them with the help of a translator, were saying we just are coming for a better life. We're escaping a bad situation in China. We're not getting money. We're not getting food. One woman claimed that she sold her house for something like $12,000 to pay for the money to get from China through various countries to eventually get to Mexico where she could walk through that gap. Now, look, those people are obviously industrious, and they want, if she's telling the truth, I should add, they want so much to come to the shining beacon on the hill that we have. I fully and certainly understand that. And some were bringing children, and some were single, but said they had family back home. Maybe they're hoping to get here and end up having a chance then later to bring family over legally. Or maybe family members would not be able to make the journey, or maybe they chose not to. Now, for those who have come across as being described by the CBS 60 Minutes reporter, you know China is watching those stories. And they'll use facial recognition or whatever else they have to find out exactly who came through that fence. Some of them were very quick to hide their face. Others either were not concerned or didn't think at that point. They were just thankful to be in America. There was one coming through, as he's coming through shouting, USA, USA. I love that. Oh my God, we can't have everybody in the world coming to America in a disorderly fashion. And among the ones that we were seeing pictures of in that 60 Minutes report, if I were going to lay odds, I'd say majority of them are not going to cause trouble unless they just accidentally get into something. They're going to come here. They're going to set up shops, maybe go to work for someone on the back side of a nail salon, sweeping up hair clippings or nail clipping, whatever. Maybe they go to work in a garage, just mopping up oil spills. Who knows? They give it 2, 3, 4 years. They may end up owning that same place or open their own. That is the American free enterprise system that we rely on that has built so many who came to this country with nothing in their pockets. Literally nothing. But were able to scrounge around and find something to sustain until they could get some kind of job. I applaud that effort. I've stated over and over again, that is exactly what we need in the nation now, and that's what built the nation. But the caveat is, they came here legally. They came through Ellis Island at one time. And they were going being documented. And if they had any indication of a disease or a history, they got put on the ship and sent back. Now, supposedly China has made it clear that anyone we send back to them, they will not take. So where would they be going? The other part of the story is, I'm telling you about all the ones that this reporter watched starting right after she got there. She could see them coming in and they just wanted to live in America. I want to go back to exactly what the CBS reporter was witnessing at dawn.
Just after sunrise, we saw the first group of migrants make their way from Mexico through a gap between the 30-foot steel border fence and rocks, ducking under a bit of razor wire and into the United States. We were surprised to see the number of people coming through from China, nearly 7,000 miles away. Careful, watch. Our cameras, and at one point, this armed Border Patrol agent standing 25 feet away, did not deter them. Some of the migrants made a grueling journey through Central America with dusty backpacks. But we noticed middle-class migrants from China arriving with rolling bags. They told us they took flights all the way to Mexico. Some flew from China to Ecuador because it doesn't require a visa for Chinese nationals, then took flights to Tijuana, Mexico. The migrants told us they connected with smugglers, or what they call snakeheads, in Tijuana. About 2 hours after these migrants arrived, we saw the Border Patrol pull up, broadcasting recorded instructions in Mandarin. The migrants were driven to a detention facility near San Diego, where they are given background checks. Some are interviewed. Typically, within 72 hours, they are released into the United States and can begin the process of filing an asylum claim.
Now, two things there. How much information do you think you were able to verify as if someone claimed that they were so-and-so and they did something or the whatever they did in China? Do you think they called the Chinese embassy or anyone in China and said, do you know this? Can you help us track down this person? I doubt that. Because you put, if they came here escaping China, you put a target on their family's back immediately, as they have when they got out of the country. Now, I know the other day when I was doing several stories, and they still continue, by the way, dozens at a time of military-aged Chinese men coming across the border at night away from a checkpoint where this is right here. They know they're going to be gathered up. They're going to be taken to a location. They'll answer some questions, get out of the heat, and then they're free to roam about the country. But those that come across in the middle of night, either stripped down to nothing but skivvies and boots, unless if they're a military column on a marching, they may well be. And others coming across in camo. They may or may not be transporting drugs and our children, but they don't want to be seen. They don't want to be detected. But they get caught sometimes on ranchers' animal cams watching for anything that might attack their cattle. And of course, so now, illegals coming across. And they might be caught on a night scope from a Border Patrol station. But it's too far away for them to get there. By the time they get there, they're scattered. They're gone. Those that are coming across that way, I certainly have a fear of what they're planning to do. Be they Chinese or any other descent. The ancestry is not the issue. Their motive is my concern. Now, there's a rancher that she talked to, and he tells a story how he kept seeing them constantly, constantly coming across his land. He tried to put a stop to it. And when you hear what happened, I will just ask you not to go completely crazy.
He went to investigate some smoke coming from his property and found migrants burning trees to stay warm. Today, his property looks like a messy moonscape, littered with the trash and tents migrants have left behind.
Have you ever just yelled, get out of here?
Well, they say, that was like 4 months ago. There was 8 guys started knocking my trees and started burning my trees on the other side. So I told them, please don't do that. Please don't. They start surrounding me. I went home and I got my gun and I shoot in the air. They arrest me.
They arrested you?
Yeah, they arrested me.
On your property?
Yeah, on my property. Yeah, just because I asked them not to burn the trees, not to knock the fences. And they arrest me. They put me in a police car and just protected my own land. Yeah.
Schuster wasn't charged, but his gun was confiscated.
For shooting his gun on his land, not aiming at these people that were on his land, just firing it to scare them away. He's outnumbered 8-10-1. What would you do? And it is your land. Got several acres. He could fire and probably not hit anybody in any direction unless they are coming across the border illegally. The landscape was extremely barren there. It was hot. That particular area where he was doing the interview, not good for farming. It looked like a lot of rocks and so forth. But it's his land, his property. And because he fired a gun, not even trying to hit an illegal, just fired the gun. He gets arrested, later returned loose, but they keep his gun. Now, knowing the network down there, I wouldn't be surprised if he hasn't gotten another one already, either that he didn't tell them about, or friends and neighbors saying, here, use this one. I got plenty more. Now, all the lefties and the progressives who are all about this idea, why don't you go down there and live there for a while? And again, when you really start opening the door to your house to let illegals in, or for that matter, you just leave your house door and your garage door open so anybody can come in. You don't know who they are. You don't know what their intentions are. They may come in and crawl in bed with your children. Why not? They might need a bed. I know you feel sorry for them. Just going to let them bed down with your children? You're going to let them walk in and out of your house taking what they want or not don't want? Or maybe just take over your house and you're outside. Call the cops. Go ahead. We'll have a dispute over who actually owns a house. Who do you think is not going to be sleeping in the house at night? I think we have a pretty good idea, don't we? This bill that the Senate passed at 5 a.m. this morning, going to the House, not likely to succeed. But Senator Rand Paul says, make note of this. This is why so many Democrats are turning their back on their party.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, we got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation. Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Roxanne, you're going to have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you're going to have to put on the red light.
Roxanne. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is why the Democrat Party is losing the working man. This is why the Republicans have become the party of the working class. This is why many, if not most, members of the unions are now looking at Republicans, because we support the working man. We support the working women of America, and we recognize that they do not want to send their hard-earned money and taxes halfway across the world. What does their money go for? Do we know what they're doing with their money in Ukraine? Well, we do know that the money went to fund six fashion brands to go to the Paris Fashion Show. We do know that it's funding small businesses to sell ladies' handbags. We do know that it's paying for the salaries of 57,000 first responders. What about the first responders in our country? What about the people who get in an ambulance and have a $35,000 bill in our country? What about tackling the problems of America first? Instead, this bill is a Ukraine first bill.
Senator Rand Paul nailed it. The bill passed today by the U.S. Senate. 22 senators in the Republican aisle against it. And among those who are for it, I read the list earlier. Not going to spend time going through it again, but there's some names that stand out, and I really want to hear an explanation. Now, one part they could say with the bill also included funding for Israel. We need to get money to Israel, $14.5 billion inside. But $95.3 billion for aid package that will include Ukraine, Israel, and some Sino-Pacific activities, no money for the border. And, of course, they're saying, see, we told you, you better take the deal we gave you or we will give you no money for the border. Well, House Republicans have said, if you don't have money in there for the border, whatever you send us, it's going to be dead on arrival. The unfortunate situation in one part of this is Israel is basically on its own. We're not getting money to them as we should. The other part is we're doing nothing to close our border, and we continue to have untold hundreds of thousands coming across every month. People we don't know, we haven't vetted, we never will. God help us if they all came here to form a fifth column on behalf of the Chinese behind our lines, so now they're inside their enemy's gates. So the Senate passed the 95.3, let's add the 0.3, because we're talking about a lot of money here, billion aid package for Ukraine and Israel. But even as ABC admits, the fate in the House is uncertain. No kidding. But while we're talking about money being thrown around, we don't know where it's going, how it's being used. Well, look what I have here in front of me. You remember the name Tony Bobulinski? Tony Bobulinski was a partner with Hunter Biden. He is the whistleblower who confirmed the infamous message about a stake of 10 held by H for the big guy, as it appeared on Hunter's laptop. H was Hunter, and 10 being held for the big guy is referring to Joe Biden. Bobulinski is testifying in front today in a House impeachment inquiry. It's significant because he did meet Joe Biden in the lobby of the Beverly Hilton Hotel in May 2017 to discuss any business with CEFC. That's an entity closely linked to the Chinese Communist Party. Well, all the time, Joe Biden has maintained, quote, plausible deniability. I know nothing, I see nothing, I do nothing, I eat ice cream. That's what I do. But his family business was raking in billions from several foreign entities, including, oh my gosh, the same China energy company, CFC, I was just referring to. The House Republicans have suspicious activity reports obtained showing Hunter Biden's business partner, another partner, Rob Walker, got a $3 million wire transfer from that energy company in 2017. And in turn, four Biden family members, Hunter, James, that would be Joe Biden's brother, Hallie, that would be Hunter's ex-sister-in-law, his brother Bo had been married to her until now he's with her, and an unidentified Biden received a collective $1.3 million cut. The unidentified, they have set up so many LLCs that include some of Joe Biden's grandchildren. But this unidentified member, an unidentified Biden, I don't really think that would be a grandchild. I think that's going to be the big guy. Been kind of watching this as it takes place today. I will certainly be spending more time on it for tomorrow. But Bobulinski had said Joe Biden was aware of the deal with the Chinese Communist group when all the time he was saying, I know nothing about nothing. I don't know anything my son has been doing. I had nothing to do with it. You won't find my fingerprints on anything. Now, that might be true. But bank records are nasty little items of proof. If money comes in and goes out, where does it go? Who's it go to? If ever there were a case to check money laundering, this would be it. By the way, even after Bobulinski came forward and said, I'm willing to whistleblow and give additional information, law enforcement not one time contacted him and said, what do you got you can share with us? And wouldn't that stand to reason? Just a basic investigation. You say you got something, let's hear what you got. And then they could take the notes and walk away and burn them, but at least they made an effort to find an answer. Sometimes you don't have to prove the actual act. You just had to prove as to how it was handled. Give you a very quick personal example. I've related this before. If you've heard it, just go to bear with me. While in Houston, I was doing a story, and a prostitute had come to me. Actually, her pimp did, and talked to me about this one woman he had. He said she was picked up by city police one night, taken up under a garage, did what they wanted with her, then left, beat her to almost with an inch of her life and left her there. She recovers. Now, the guy talking to me does not have great character. The woman he's got as the woman who claimed she was beat by cops doesn't have great character. The two officers have outstanding reputations. One of them is even the son of the Harris County Sheriff. So I go to their commander. Oh, and the only way it got into the police to begin with, it, she was turning a lot of news and information and tips over to the narcotics division. And so once she was able to speak again, she called her contact at the narcotics division, said, these cowboys posing as cops came in and beat the hell out of me. Why do you allow that to happen for all I do to you? They, in turn, contacted the supervisor of the two officers. So I had that link. I could go to the narcotics officer. He said, yes, I was called and told about it as to what happened. I said, what did you do? He said, I called their captain. They're under his command and for him to deal with it. So I go talk to their captain. I lay the whole story out. And he says, yeah, I know. There's nothing to it. I said, how do you know there's nothing to it? He said, well, I investigated it. Well, what did you investigate? And again, I don't know if the wounds she's received were from police officers, as she claims, or her pimp. He said, well, I investigated. I said, what did you do to investigate? His answer, I brought them both in here, set them in front of me, and I asked them straight up, did you do this? And I looked at my eyes, I go, really? And what did they say, Captain? What did they say? They denied it, said they didn't do anything. I said, what did you do next? I said, all right, go back to your tours. Go back to your car and do your duty. That's your investigation? That's your investigation? See, that was giving me a hinge for the story, something to base it on. Couldn't prove anything, but I could prove what was happening after she made the report. And, of course, it smelled like high heaven. We know that. So imagine this. You are a star in your community. Everyone loves you. Everyone, they love you. My God, you were bigger than Taylor Swift, possibly. At least at this time last December, this woman was, and she's walking the streets of the district that she represents in New York City, and a couple of guys sitting on a stump, a stool nearby, they see her, and they call out to her, and she's probably expecting, my God, they love me. They love me. Not so fast.
Oh, ABC. Oh, hey. You gonna condemn Hamas and the terrorist attacks here or what? You know the three branches of government yet? You are such a loser. You are so stupid. You are the worst. You are the absolute worst. Condemn the Hamas attacks. Go bring some more COVID back from Florida. It's executive, judicial, and legislative branches.
You're horrible.
Keep laughing. Keep laughing. You and Ilhan Omar, two
Close
peas in a
border.
Pod. Two peas in a pod.
Close the border.
You're doing a great job.
Enjoy your Christmas shopping while we care.
Those guys, first of all, called her, what do they call her, ADC or ABC? Make AB. But she said, well, they're just having some fun. And then she gets over there, and they're in her face. Why don't you condemn Hamas? Do you know the three executive branches of government yet? Let me tell you. Why don't you go down to Florida? Get all your shopping done. Bring us something back. You're worthless. You talk about somebody's bubble being punched and like a balloon will do. I mean, if I'm out, somebody says, hey, Larry Connors, I want to talk to you. And they're smiling. Well, I'm going to go say hello and everything. And they take my hand and said, you're the most stupid idiot I've ever heard on the air. You should never be on radio, never should have been on TV. You'd be better off sleeping with the pigs at night. My answer might be, how do you know I don't? But she was speechless. She was not expecting that, because who's going to criticize a member of the Progressive Party in her own district and from guys that look like they might be all into her? Now, you know, Joe Biden did not do an interview, Super Bowl interview, for the second year in a row. Trump had done it. Obama did it. But he did put up that video talking about his shrinkage. Let me correct that. When I say his shrinkage, you might be thinking of George in the Seinfeld episode and his shrinkage. It wasn't the same. He was talking about shrinkage, reference the economy. You're paying more and getting less, that they are shrinking the size of the bags of potato chips, so they're putting fewer chips in there, just putting more air in. That's what he meant by shrinkage. But here's what he did do. They did Sunday upload President Biden on his first TikTok video with the caption, LOL, hey guys. Does he know LOL means lots of laugh, or does he think it means lots of love? Either way, it's the first video uploaded to the Biden-Harris campaign TikTok account. He's answering softball questions during the Super Bowl game between the Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers. And again, it was not on the air. It was just on TikTok. I could have played it, and I said, I'm not going to bother. I'd just rather do it myself and have more fun with it. At one point, he's asked, Chiefs or Niners? And he replies, two great quarterbacks. Hard to decide. But if I didn't say I was for the Eagles, then I'd be sleeping alone. My wife's a Philly girl. Okay. Then he's asked, appears to play in the theory pop star Taylor Swift's relationship with Travis Kelce as part of a plot to rig the game and help get Biden reelected in November. Devious plotting to rig the season so the Chiefs would make the Super Bowl, or the Chiefs just being a good football team, the aide asked. Biden says, I'd get in trouble if I told you. In other words, keeping the conspiracy theory alive. And then there's an image of Biden with a beaming red laser eyes flashing across the screen in reference to the Dark Brandon meme that the campaign has decided to embrace, trolling conservatives for combining the famous Let's Go Brandon with the phrase Dark MAGA, which some Trump supporters have been holding on to. TikTok video that Biden had on concludes with the aide asking, Trump or Biden? He laughs perfectly and said, are you kidding? Biden. I wonder how many takes they had to do that part of it. I mean, really? Trump or Biden? Trump. Let's do it again. Trump or Biden? Let's do it again. So the 81-year-old president using TikTok right on the heels of the Chinese app being banned from most U.S. government devices. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle consider it a national security threat. Threat or no threat, Biden? As always, I appreciate you listening. I'd also appreciate you telling others. We'll be here 6 to 8, Monday through Friday. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.